My name is Victor Kubik, President of the United Church of God. Welcome to another edition of Inside United. This is a place where we explore some of the inner workings of the United Church of God, talk to people of interest in the church, and those who cross paths with us. Please tell your friends to come and join us on iTunes or your favorite Android podcast app. Today, our guest is Darris McNeely. In the realm of United Church of God and beyond today, he is very, very well known. He also has a long history in the pastoral ministry, and he has worked with youth camps in different parts of the country. He's also been an ABC, Ambassador Bible College instructor, and has taught fundamental beliefs and also prophecy classes, which are some of the most popular. And most recently, he's been a big helper with ministerial education. In fact, one who has set the path, the die for how we educate the coming crop of ministers coming into the United Church of God. So welcome to Inside United, Darris.
Good to be here with you once again, Vic. Appreciate the invitation.
And I really do appreciate his insight and the things that he talks about. But he came into my office not too long ago and said, you know, Vic, do you realize that we're 25 years old now in the United Church of God? And the next General Conference of Elders will be a demarcation of 25 years of existence. And maybe we should use this year as a year of not only introspection about where we have come from, but also as a launch pad for the next 25 years. What's the church going to be like the next 25 years? Well, this is somewhat of a sobering thought because you and I, Darris, probably won't be here at the end of that period.
Thanks for the reminder.
But that's a sobering reality and something for us to think about as we prepare for the future, as we prepare ourselves for the coming kingdom of God. But Darris, I'd like to hear some of your thoughts and maybe carry on the conversation that we started in my office that really led to us wanting to talk about what we're talking about.
Okay, sure. Be glad to, Vic. Appreciate the opportunity here. You know, you and I were at the beginning of the United Church of God 24 plus years ago now in Indianapolis when a group of ministers came together to found the church and organize the continuation of the church as we knew it with the preaching of the gospel, teaching of the faithful and true doctrines of God's word, and providing a spiritual home for God's people. We typically, you know, in our culture, we will celebrate 10 years, 20, 25, 50 is a big golden anniversary. I'm not sure what is the 25th in terms of
silver.
Silver, that's correct. Silver anniversary. But it's still a good time for us to take stock of what we've done and remember that. But then most importantly, look forward. Because as you said, we're not going to, you and I and our generation will not be here to recognize the 50th anniversary. We have no doubt that the Church of God is going to go on. We pray that the United Church of God can continue to be an effective instrument in the hands of Jesus Christ, the head of the church, as he begins to build his body, continues to build that spiritual body of the church. But we're laying a foundation right now in everything that we do for that next 25 years. And I think we've actually accomplished more than we might realize once we take stock of it. I recently had a discussion with the Ambassador Bible College class that we just graduated a few weeks ago. We took a couple of hours near the end of the year to go over this particular concept. I reminded them that we are aiming toward that 25th anniversary, and I asked them, what would you like the church to look like in 25 years? What would you want to see the media doing in 25 years, the media outreach of the church? I asked, what kind of a church do you want for your children? I asked them what their strengths they saw as the strengths of the church, also what they saw as the weaknesses of the church, and what they'd like to see the church to address as issues of both in its media and in its work of preparing and caring for the disciples.
Now, you told me that there was a young lady who took some good notes.
There was.
What did she say?
Well, she typed up probably, what have I got here in front of me? I've got about 7 or 8 pages of notes that she came out with. You know, let's just look at what they said about the strengths of the United Church of God. They have all been products of the camp program, And they recognize that that is a major strength right there, the summer camp program, which you will remember, Vic. The summer camp program of the United Church of God was the very first real organizational decision made by the Interim Council of Elders shortly after our Indianapolis conference. You all had a meeting, teleconference, and you funded and said we were going to have summer camps. That was in May. We had just a few weeks to find camps across the country and get up and running a camp system for the youth, which we did. But the camp program was the first operation or the first big program.
I wish we could do things like that right now. Have a two-minute drill to get the ball over the goal line.
Just create things on the fly like that.
But we did. There was not only one camp, but it was several around the country.
It was several around the country. And, you know, it was a bit rough, but we then really got it organized into an effective program. It has continued every year, and I don't think we'd get much argument that it's probably the most successful program that the United Church of God has had in its 25 years. The kids see that. One of the other strengths that they saw is the sound doctrine that the church teaches, being faithful to the doctrinal teaching of the Bible and what we have had as our legacy spiritually within the Church of God community of which we've been a part. And they recognize we're really, as one student put it, we've done a good job in doing that. It's probably in one of the best places we've been in a long time, is what one person said. He said, we've stayed true to doctrine, and we should recognize that.
Well, you know, I found that when I was having a Bible study with our youth camp at Kotubik last week, as to the deep questions that the youth had about the future, where what we stand, what we believe about the kingdom of God and so forth, there was not some errant, you know, thoughts like they didn't know what we were talking about. They were there. They just wanted more information. But you know, Darius, one thing about doctrine and core doctrine is not something only from youth, but our older ministers, they're concerned about that. They're concerned about the things that they have lived for and have been pastors for 40, 50 years. Is this going to somehow dissolve, or is this somehow be watered down, or whatever? Will our core doctrines and our core teachings be passed down to where they are felt down deep as not something that is a legacy teaching, but their teaching and the truth?
Internalized, yeah. It's obviously a concern of God's people at any time and place. And we know scripturally, Vic, that there is the continual warring against the people of God, the church of God. We see that from the book of Revelation chapter 12 is an ongoing age-long war that Satan attacks the spiritual Israel, the Israel of God, the church of God. And so we are aware of that. And we do our level best in the ministry and in the church to combat that, to make sure that the teaching in our services regularly is doctrinally consistent. We teach at Ambassador Bible College the fundamentals of belief, and we go through in depth the 20 fundamentals that we have, from the Sabbath to the holy days and the kingdom of God, to show the students, the next generation, that what we believe indeed does come from Scripture. Mm-hmm. It's not just thought up whole cloth by a group of men. It is scripturally based. And again, going back to the camp program, as you saw with your episode at Kotubik, the strength of the success of our camp program has been the fact that it's been spiritually based. Mm-hmm. It's not just a week of fun and games, which there's a lot of that too, but there's also, it is scripturally based, spiritually based. And the kids are reminded about God's way of life in many different ways as the themes roll out year by year. So that builds. Mm-hmm. That's my point. It builds. And the ministry can take comfort and encouragement in that, and as long as then they are doing their job, and I know that you're working diligently with the training and the ministerial education to be sure that we are maintaining that, teaching our men to teach as they've been taught, doing the best we can.
Well, one thing about Darius, let me just say this, is that, you know, we have been looking at the replenishing of our ministry, the education of our ministry, and, you know, sometimes we don't know who to pick to run these things. In fact, I wonder myself, what am I doing here? You know, just how is it that I'm in this and what decisions do I have to make? But it's really gelled together very, very well in that we take a look at our needs, not only in the United States, which is the lion's share, really, is three-quarters of our ministry, but three-quarters or even 80%. But we take a look at what's overseas in some of the developed countries and developing countries. And we're trying to develop not only a ministry for them, but their church too. And Daris has been kind of our official, sub-official, international ministry developer. Let's put it that way. We kind of know what you need to do, but we need to go to these areas and to have seminars and training of these people. And they also have to determine who's being called to the ministry. Because we know, we see certain people that are just kind of rise up out of the masses as leaders who not only have skills, but also have integrity and character to carry on. So Daris has been very much involved in this. And I might say that he is going to... I can't pronounce it, Ivory Coast in French, Côte d'Ivoire, whatever.
Côte d'Ivoire.
Côte d'Ivoire, yeah, you got to say it through your nose. Anyway, so he'll be going there for training. They'll be translated into the French. There'll be English-speaking and French-speaking ministers. Then Daris and I are going to the Philippines in the latter part of December for an intensive session with their ministry, and they have quite a few ministers. You know, they have at least 9, I think, that are ordained, and then they have a whole list of other leaders, but they have over 25 churches and groups scattered throughout the Philippines. We also have programs here that Daris has been very involved in called a pastoral development program, where Daris initiated the term boot camp for that some of us didn't really think was the correct term for that. In fact, he wanted to have the whole summer as a training session, and then he found out that he even couldn't.
then we set a month, and then we settled on, 10 days?
10 days, yeah. It's actually almost 2 weeks because he's got a whole weekend there and everything. But Daris has been very much involved and just part of the fabric to satisfy the need to pass on core doctrine, to pass on the truth, and make sure we pass on the truth and not just twigs, you know, because there are things that one instructor back at the old Ambassador College says, there are things that are true, there are things that are false, and there are things that are interesting. And we have to be able to delineate and get the truth through all the way.
Yeah, it's absolutely correct. And that's part of the design of our program that I've taken at your request to Southern Africa, Zambia, Malawi, mm-hmm. and South Africa, now the Côte d'Ivoire. And then when we go to the Philippines, we will be talking about the core doctrines and ensuring that those are understood and to be taught as we have been taught. Also, we talk about discipling and being a lifelong student of the Word of God and a disciple of Jesus Christ. With that heart and with that attitude, then God can use us as true servants to shepherd the people, serve the people of God, and advance the work and the mission of the church. All of that is what the international areas will receive, which ties them into the training that is given through the United States regional conferences. Everyone's hearing the same thing and just reinforcing everything that we have learned and understood. In one sense, we're not taking anything new all to these areas, but we're taking the principles and the practices that we know work within the church to ensure integrity and harmony and a unity. If everyone submits to one another and ultimately to God, then it can develop that relationship we really want. That's, you know, that's one of the other things that the young adults in the ABC class highlighted about the strength of the church, and that is that it's all about relationships. We are the church, whether it's the ministry, whether it is the young adults, all of us together must have a good, solid relationship.
Well, one thing, too, which I'd like to kind of say about Daris and me, we both have children who are in the church.
We do. You know, and grandchildren.
And grandchildren. In fact, as I look upon, you know, our progeny, I take a look really even more emotionally towards my granddaughters. You know, I want a church for them. I want them to stay in the church. And I have very, very meaningful discussions with them. I'm really amazed as to how a 14, 15-year-old young person can think about their future. And if I could steer and guide and motivate them to stay on the true course, that gives me a great deal of satisfaction. But that's part of what we are skin in the game. We're not going to walk away from this. We have our children, and I want a safe, I want a standing church for them.
That was, in fact, 25 years ago, Vic. That was what I said to my son, my teenage son, who was still at home at the time, my youngest son. After we had organized what we did in Indianapolis, I was able to go home that night and look at him and say, we have a church. Mm-hmm. And we have a spiritual home and a place to meet that's safe and that is mission-focused. And it was one of the best things I think I can remember ever having the privilege to say to my son. And I want to be able to pass that on to my grandchildren. It is worth all that we must put into it to make it happen.
You mentioned relationships. I can't agree with you more. You know, we had a study done one several years back, and you know, we wanted an outside group to take a look at our church and tell us what is the essence of our church. Not the mission, not the vision, but the essence of it. What is it that makes the church bubble? And you know, after many interviews and discussions with people and surveys and so forth, they came to the two words, meaningful relationships.
And they hit it on the head. And that is exactly right.
And at first we even mocked that.
We did. We thought, that's it?
Is that all we get for
the money that we spent? Yes.
But when I take a look at, that was the basis of my sermon at Ketubic last week, because I talked about the fact that camp is about meaningful relationships. The church is about meaningful relationships. And the law of God defines meaningful relationships, both between us and God and between each other.
Correct. That's it. I mean, if you don't have a meaningful relationship, whether it's godly, Christ-like, whatever, then you will not have trust and you will not have a viable family, business, organization, or church.
And, you know, our kids, whether you talk about the importance of meaningful relationships or not, that is what drives them. That's what drives Snapchat. That's what drives Instagram. They don't want Instagram. They want the relationship that's behind it.
And we all do. And we, you know, all of us aging baby boomers do the same thing. We're as much on Facebook and all of those things as anybody else. The kids move off of them quicker than we do.
I know.
But it's our strong desire to have a relationship too. That's why we're all on those social media tools.
And we want people to like us.
That's right. That's right.
Give us a like.
Gives us a little boost, doesn't it?
And that's part of the relationship. And that's why these things are so popular. That's why cell phones are popular.
Yeah. It is.
Well, Darris, this has just been very, very interesting. I feel, Darris, that we've just touched the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, I've only been on one page of this eight-page survey, so we can come back and talk some more.
Okay, we'll talk some more. But this has just been great talking to you. And I'd like our listeners to know that we're going to start a little series, a little mini-series here, Darris and I, to talk about some of the things that are important in this 25th year. I feel it's a milestone year. It's a year for us, again, not just to look back and say, here's what we've done, but what do we have to look forward to?
Total agreement, and I look forward to coming back and talking some more about it.
Well, Darris, thank you very much for joining us here. Thank you for joining us on this edition of Inside United. Tell your friends about us. They can find us on iTunes or on Podcaster or many other podcast apps. So come back again soon for more.
This is a production of the United Church of God. For more, visit ucg.org.